Hello again. This time we're going to talk about the Feast of Shavuot, or as it's known in Christendom, Pentecost. We're going to begin by reading again from Leviticus 23 and verse 10. And I quote, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord." We're now going to turn to another scripture which deals with this issue, and that scripture is found in Acts 2, verse 37, 38 to 47. And this scripture says, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and of prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them amongst all as anyone who had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now we're going to begin with the Jewish understanding of this, which is what we are all about anyway, as a messianic group. And we're going to begin by talking about the counting of the Omer. Now, this is a time which leads up to the day of Shavuot on May the 23rd, and is from that day after the Sabbath of Passover, according to the Jewish feast that God commands us to keep in Leviticus 23:15. You would spend these days counting the Omer, which means counting down each day, in expectation of the coming day of Shavuot, also known to Christians as the day of Pentecost, because it comes 50 days later, or 7 weeks, which is why it is called the Feast of Weeks. Now, it couldn't keep all of the holiday requirements, because according to the Bible, I have to offer up 7 lambs, a bull, 2 rams via the priest in the temple in Jerusalem. So that makes it impossible to keep in the full sense of the word. However, during these 49 days, God did miracles in the desert with the children of Israel. The Jews were dehydrated, they needed water, and when they arrived at Marah, the water was bitter. So God told Moses to cast a tree into the waters, and they turn it into sweet waters. And when they arrived in the wilderness, there was no food in the desert. So God miraculously sent manna, or bread, in other words, from heaven. In the morning, when the dew lifted from the ground, there was a frost left, and it was bread that tasted like honey wafers. Each person gathered up an omer of it each day, and then God miraculously provided meat through the quails which flew over and fell down before them, small birds, each night for their dinner, and then they had no water in the desert. So God told Moses to strike a rock, and miraculously water came out of it. Now these 49 days were a time of preparation and introspection for the Jews. Each day was a day further away from Egypt, and a day closer to the becoming a nation set apart for God at Shavuot. I always looked at this holiday at one time as one of the only Orthodox Jews keep. Yeshua and the apostles and all the disciples counted the Omer 2,000 years ago later. And so that is important. God tells us to count down each day. So he obviously wanted us to be in expectation of something. And that something is Shavuot, or the time of regeneration. So why is it important? Well, it was on Shavuot that we first received the word of God. On Shavuot, Moses received the first part of the written word of God, the Torah. That's why you have a Bible today. It was also on the day of Shavuot that the Lord originally sent his Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, which today indwells in me and in you, if you're a born-again believer. And when the day of Shavuot come, the Bible says in Acts 2, 1 to 41, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Those who accepted his message were immersed, or baptized, in other words, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Yeshua had risen from the dead and walked around Jerusalem for 40 days. He then met with the apostles and told them to wait in Jerusalem until they are given the Holy Spirit. Now, many of Yeshua's most faithful followers, about 120 of them, so the Bible tells us, were gathered together. And then suddenly a sound like a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, all of them were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. Acts 2:2. Jeremiah, as it turned out, foretold this amazing prophecy about the law, the Torah, which was given to Moses on Shavuot 3,500 years previously, which was later fulfilled on that exact day of Shavuot 2,000 years ago, when the Holy Spirit indwelled the first messianic Jewish believers. This is what he said. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 33. Isn't that wonderful? That God's prophecies through his prophets are coming to fruition. Do we really understand the holiness and the power of having this Spirit of God dwelling within us? This is the same Holy Spirit who hovered over the waters during the creation, who raised Yeshua from the dead. What else could we ever want more in life than to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit? However, Jewish people today do not believe in Yeshua, and therefore they do not have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who is given to all who believe. Today in Israel, there are approximately 80 Messianic Jewish congregations and 10,000 Messianic Jews. About 2,000 of them live in Jerusalem. Although this may sound like a lot of Jewish believers, out of 5.5 million Jewish people in Israel, 99.9% of Israelis still do not know Yeshua. However, I believe that we are coming to the end of those days, and that soon the prophecy in Joel 2 and verse 28 will be fulfilled. This is what it says. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Now, what is the fulfillment of that? Well, the fulfillment of that is what we have received through the Messianic movement. First of all, the feast was fulfilled by the birth of the church. And we can read that in Acts 2 and verse 1 to 4. Now, this was the beginning of a completely new ministry from God. It's perspective. It is not true, as some have said, that this was the first time the Holy Spirit appeared. He appeared right through the Tanakh, right through the Old Testament period, from beginning to end. He is the orchestrator of all things. He is the Spirit of God, part of the triunity, the personality of God, and shows that his will is to make things good for man, not to make them difficult. Man makes them difficult by bringing his will into the situation. Now, he appeared right through the Tanakh, as I have said. However, what was different was this was the time of the first Spirit baptism. No one before had ever received Spirit baptism as he came upon them. He had done that previously, but never before did he seal them. So this was the birth of the church, and it fulfilled the weeks, the Feast of Weeks, or the Shavuot, otherwise known as the first fruits. Now, what is the evidence of all this? Well, let's look at it. In Colossians 1 and verse 18, we read that the church is the body of Christ. 2, in Ephesians 2, 11 and 16, it states, this body, which is the church, is made up of both Jews and Gentile believers, making the one new man. And 3, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, it states that entrance into this body can only be by spirit baptism, or regeneration, otherwise known as born again. You see, in those days, first a covenant was made by one party, then if the other party agreed, they would seal that covenant. So now we understand this so. We go through the waters of baptism to make our covenant with God. Then he seals us in his Holy Spirit to confirm the agreement we have made with him. So in Ephesians 1 and verse 13 to 14 we read, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. Therefore, you do not give a guarantee for something unless it is purchased. So God says here in his word that he is giving you a guarantee. That's why you're sealed. When something is purchased, you leave a deposit so you can collect it later. So can we lose this salvation? The answer is no. And we can see the reason for that in John 14 and verse 16. John 14 and verse 16, where we read, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Not for a period, not so you can lose it, forever. And this is the answer. Now you may well say about Judas, for instance, he was never saved in the first place. So we don't have to worry about what happened to Judas. So you might say to me, what about Ananias and Sapphira? That testifies that you can lose your life for disobedience, but you can never lose your salvation, because that is a gift that nobody can take away. It comes from God. So then, if the church is the body of Christ, and it is, and if entrance into that body is spirit baptism, and it is, then this is the birth of the church. Simple enough. Now then, the Feast of Weeks has a total of 7 different names, and we can understand the feast and its subsequent fulfillment in Pentecost by further understanding these names. First of all, it is called the Feast of Weeks, and this is because it occurs 7 weeks after Passover. Second, the Day of Harvest, because it marked the end of the spring harvest. The third name is the Day of First Fruits, because the first fruits of the summer harvest are offered. And in the New Testament, the church is the first fruits. Four, the closing festival, because it marks the end of the first cycle of festivals. And in the New Testament, when we look at festivals as a whole, it's the end of the first 3, and then there are 4 later. Five, the festival of the first grain, because this is the festival of reaping. Six, the season of the giving of the law, because 10 commandments were given at this time. And 7, the Feast of Pentecost, because this name comes from the Greek name Pentecostus, which means 50, because it occurs exactly 50 days after Passover, hence the name Pentecost. So Yeshua was the first fruits of mankind to go to heaven. He was also the Passover lamb, the Kapara lamb, as he's called in Hebrew, which marked the beginning of the harvest of souls from the church, and this is its birthday. Now Israel was commanded to appear before the Lord, Passover, at Pentecost, and at Tabernacles. So it speaks of the new birth, because Passover is the death of self, Pentecost is the spirit baptism or sealing, and Tabernacles is the resurrection of the soul. Now it's 1500 years since the Lord commanded the Feast of Weeks, and it's been going on for all that time. And it's important that we understand that this fulfillment of it is the birth of the church. 3 times a year, Israel was commanded to appear before the Lord. And this fulfilled the birth of the church. And it fulfilled our feast of Shavuot. Now, a further thing which we need to understand is, especially from the Messianic perspective, is that to remember that the biblical practice of this feast, there were 2 loaves offered in the single sheet, on a single sheet, in the midst of the festival. In the church, there are 2 types of people, Jews and Gentiles, united into one body, according to Ephesians 2:11-16 and 3:5-6. Furthermore, these loaves were to be leavened. Leaven is a symbol of sin. This means that Jews and Gentile sinners are brought into the church, the body of Christ. It was also pointed out that the Feast of Weeks is also called the Day of First Fruits, because it marked the first fruits of the summer harvest. The application is on the first fruits of the believers, which were Jewish believers. For example, the first fruits of the church is found in Acts 2:41-42, where 3,000 Jews were saved on that occasion. This comprised the church of that day. These were Jewish believers. Furthermore, James, who wrote specifically to Jewish believers in James 1 and verse 1-2, and in James 1:18, called these Jewish believers first fruits. The first fruits aspects of the Feast of Weeks is fulfilled by the Jewish believers of those early days of the church during the first century. The Feast of Weeks is fulfilled by the birthday of the church, comprised of Jewish and Gentile believers in one body. The first fruit aspect is fulfilled by virtue of the fact that Jewish believers were the first ones into this body. And there we need to understand the cycles, the 4-month interval between first and second cycle of feasts. The first 4 feasts were fulfilled by the program of the first coming of Christ. The first 4 festivals come within 50 days of each other. Between the first 4 and the last 3 feasts, there is a 4-month interval mentioned in passing in Leviticus 23 and 22. Now, it was a pause between the 2 sets of festivals, during which time life was to continue along normal lines. It is pictured as a summertime of labour in the fields, in preparation for the final harvest of the summer, before the fall harvest would come. And we read in Leviticus 23 and verse 22, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the sojourner. I am your God." It is a verse statement which is not related to any feast. It almost seems like an unnecessary interruption, unless it is understood what is really happening. It is the pause between the festivals which are fulfilled by the program of the first coming, as over against the festivals to be fulfilled by the program of the second coming. This interval of 4 months does have a messianic implication. The messianic implication is the insertion of the church age, which interrupts the program of feasts of Israel. Indeed, the gleanings for the poor and the strangers is a very good picture of the mission of the church itself in gospel evangelism. For example, John 4 and verse 35, which states, "Look on the fields, that they are already white unto harvest," it becomes a fitting symbol of the obligation of the church to do the work of gospel evangelism. Verse 22, being a parenthetical verse, interrupting the discussion of the Feast of Israel, is significant in that it does symbolize the present age in which we now live, in which the program of the feasts of Israel have been temporarily interrupted. The last 3 festivals in the second cycle of feasts also come together, even closer together than those of the first cycle of feasts. In fact, they all come within 2 weeks of each other. And the last 3 of these feasts of the second cycle are to be fulfilled by the program of the second coming. Thank you for listening to this tape.